This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 29th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the GAO says EQIP dollars aren't going where they can best be used, and EPA says it will not regulate dirt coming off farmers' fields. That under the auspices, of course, of the Clean Air Act. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And stay with us for the afternoon, because after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk today with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Steve Hilberg will give us an update on climate conditions and weather forecast for the weekend across the Midwest. It all happens in this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Taking a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Friday afternoon, futures in the December wheat contract finished at $4.43. They were 2.5 lower in Chicago for the soft red. The March contract at $4.58 finished a penny lower. December corn futures down 1.75 at $2.62.5. The March at $2.75.25 down 2.25. And the May contract at $2.82.75 down 2.5 cents. July futures down 1.25 at $2.90.75 for the day. Soybeans November contract, $5.47.5. They were off 5.25. January's futures at 4.5 lower, $5.62.25. And the March contract at $5.73 were down 4.5 as well. November's at $6.10 were down 5 cents for the day. Soybean meal, October contract, $1.60.90. They finished 20 lower. October bean oil down 16 at $23.77. Feeder cattle finished the Octobers at $112.90, off 32.5 cents. And the October live cattle at $90.65 were down 2.5 cents. December futures were up 7.5 at $89.85. Lean hogs October contract $63.62.5 for $1.07.5 higher for the day. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, November crude oil futures at $63.05 a barrel were up 29 cents at the last tick. The CRB index at 305.74, up 0.6, and the dollar at 86.01, 2.24 higher. The Dow at 11,689, and that is currently down just about 28 points for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange this week and today is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Hey, congratulations, by the way, on that new baby boy you had last week.
I'd like to thank you guys and all the people that have called in or emailed and congratulated us. It's real humbling, and we really appreciate everybody's great actions in doing that. That is really, I told my wife about every one of them that, and every one of you guys that called in and emailed, and thanks, Todd.
Well, you're not going to thank me next. Did you name this boy Anthony? Is that right?
That's exactly right.
So you're a broker, and you now have a boy named Tony Z. Is this right?
I think we're going to send him to the crude oil pits in New York when he's 18. What do you think?
Yeah, either that or for collections, one of the two. I don't know. I thought that was the first thing I thought of. Son of a gun.
My dad asked me, I'm the last of five, and my dad asked me, I'm the rebel in the family, and my dad asked me, never name your son Tony, okay? So what'd I do? I thought maybe this might be our last one, so I thought, well, Dad, I'm going to get you back here.
Well, congratulations nonetheless. I take it he's doing well. Is this right?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing great. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this market. We should start with the quarterly hogs and pigs report was released at 2 o'clock this afternoon. All hogs and pigs as of September 1st now at 101, and the average guess at 100.9, kept for breeding at 102, the average guess at 101.1, and kept for marketing at 101, and the average guess there was at 100.9. I don't suppose that'll have much of an impact at all on Monday, will it?
No, not much, we don't think. I mean, the breeding number was a little bit higher than the estimates. We weren't part of the range this month because we did have our fifth, but we've been carrying about a 101.5, 101.6 breeding number anyway here internally, so we weren't real shocked by that, Todd. And I have to say, we were really happy with the technical close in October today on the close here. We got above the 10-day moving average in the downtrend line, so I suspect our mindset would be that because the index and the futures are evened up and because the technical close gave us a buy signal on the stochastics and the oscillators, then we would hope that would take precedent over the report numbers.
And anything that we need to discuss in the cattle pits?
The main thing with the cattle is we've had a very nice run. The cash look a little vulnerable here, and the futures look a little bit vulnerable here. We haven't been real happy with the amount of beef some of the Asian customers have been taking since the beef ban has been lifted. The numbers are down hard, especially for Japan. And we hope that doesn't cause another leg down in the cattle. But the feeder cattle market especially, when you look at the charts and you look at the fundamentals of how many feeders are in lots right now, it looks real vulnerable. So it's something we really have to keep an eye on next week.
I did see a report that suggested cattle were going to take more corn in the future. That'd probably be good for the corn market, but may tighten supplies up to the point that cattle producers could be in a bit of trouble with the high price to purchase feeder cattle and the high corn price.
That's exactly right, and it also says that if you have a higher corn price, you're gonna lower your weights, and so you're gonna get a higher cost of production, and you're not gonna get as big a gross out of it if you're a cattle producer on how much per head you sell it for. So it may be tough here the first 6 or 7 months of 2007 if this corn demand stays as strong as it has been.
Recapping the numbers that came out in the quarterly grain stocks report from USDA at 7:30 this morning, corn at 1.971 billion bushels. Trade was looking at 1967. And the beans at 449 million bushels. Trade was looking for 482. Wheat at 1.743. Trade expecting 1.711 billion bushels. Looked like a non-event in Chicago after the open.
Yeah, it really was. And the beans may have been able to pick up a little bit of steam, but they really didn't work very well, given that the ECBOT overnight trade gave us a new weekly high. We also had the FC Stone numbers out that were quite a bit bigger than the USDA's September report. So we suspect between the bean oil having a tough day with a two-sided trade in crude oil, and also the technicals not really providing any support whatsoever or new buying whatsoever, those FC Stone numbers got traded in today.
Can you recap those numbers for me, please?
Well, the FC Stone numbers came in at just a little over 11 billion on the corn, 11.07, and the soybeans, they came in at 3.26. So a little bit, about 50-60, it looks like, eyeballing it higher than what the USDA gave us on the beans in September.
And as you take a look at these numbers as we move through the harvest season, would you expect corn futures continue to move a bit higher and for beans to drift sideways at this point?
If the wheat doesn't continue on a path of fund buying, we would suspect that the corn and the beans would both need to take a little bit of a break here, because we're going to see a lot more heads switch over to cutting beans next week in Illinois and Indiana, we suspect. And the corn is going to get some business from the farmers here at these price levels. And, we've got a litany of issues here in the short term. They can all be countered, whether it's the fund length or the export sales slipping or the producers filling their bin up now, but eventually going to the elevator here pretty soon. And the fact that we've heard a lot more yield improvement in the corn, no matter what you look at there's some issues that we would say the corn needs to find a little bit of a correction and see exactly how serious the buying is. if we do see a correction, but it's not going to happen in our view if they keep buying the wheat and we try and track up and continue to track and go towards that 1996 level.
So what are you telling producers to do at this point with old and new crop?
Old crop, we certainly don't want anybody to have any of that right now, but the new crop, we'd say get some off the combine, hedges locked in, and we want to stay probably around 25 to 35% unsold in the corn in case the funds do keep buying the wheat. I mean, one of the things that's hardest for us right now is the way the funds buy, the seasonality or the pattern that they go by. Typically, when the funds are as even as they are in wheat, as coming into this week, you would think they'd start a buying program that would last 1 to 3 or 4 weeks. And yet you have the end of the quarter coming up here today, and you just don't know whether that was window dressing and they're done buying wheat for now and they'll come back later, or whether they're going to continue on this path, especially if we keep getting lower and lower South American production numbers out of Argentina for wheat. So the funds really are a big wild card right now. But for beans, as far as hedgers go, we'd like the bought calls that are protecting LDP on the sold bushels, and we're putting the balance of our unsold crop under loan or in the on-farm bin.
And what are you doing with next year's crop?
07, we're going to wait on corn. 07 on beans, we're getting very, very close to letting some more go there, Todd. We would suspect that if we would be able to get back to that 6.25 level in 07 beans, we'd shoot some more, maybe a 10 or 15% increment. But right now, as we see it, Nov 07 beans and July 07 wheat are buying more acres than Dece 07 corn is right now.
So how much higher in the Dece 07 corn do you think it needs to go before you'd be a willing seller?
If the wheat wants to go another 40 to 50 cents higher and we see a 5 in front of lead month wheat, we would suspect about half that will be put on in the corn market. So that would put Dece 06 corn about 280 to 285. That would put Dece 07 corn, because we'd think the spreads would tighten, that would put Dece 07 corn right around that 310, 315, that old high up there, and then we'd really take a hard look at it. We wouldn't want it to slip back any if we saw it lose any ground.
And when you get to that point, how much do you think you'll be a willing seller? Are you going to sell the additional acres that you plan to plant because of that higher price, or are you going to sell more than that?
No, we would probably stay pretty conservative if the wheat was leading it, because that would, again, say you're not really putting a lot more corn acres down given the price of wheat and the fact that producers who are still on the fence of after they pull their beans out of their field right now decide whether they want to plant wheat or whether they want to go to corn next year. If this rally would happen in wheat, this next 50-cent move would happen here in the near term, that would put more wheat in, and we'd say that'd be at the expense of corn. So we'd be real sluggish on 07 corn sales if we hit that level here in the near term.
Anything we haven't covered that we need to for the day?
The only thing I'd say is one thing we noticed is March, May, and July wheat are all within about a penny to 2 cents from each other now, and so we've seen a terrific change in the structure of that market. The carrying charge is being reduced, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to an inverted market where that front-end futures leads the back-end, and that's real important when it comes to how strong of a market can we build in this wheat. So very nice structure in the wheat market going into the end of the week.
All right. We appreciate it much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Thanks. And
okay.
Get some sleep if you can.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. And that's Mike Zuzlo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. The new dad joins us each and every Friday when he can right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the air, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's own Mike Sola forecast for tonight says in northern and central sections, it'll be mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers in the south, partly to mostly cloudy, lows between 45 and 52. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mainly in the northern and central sections. Highs ranging tomorrow from 61 in northeastern Indiana to 77 in far southern Illinois. The extended forecast for the two states, unseasonably warm temperatures will cover the two-state area through the middle of next week. and then remain slightly above normal for the remainder of the week. After scattered showers over the weekend, the next chance for rain comes to the area on Wednesday, when scattered showers and thunderstorms could develop. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, a Government Accountability Office report says USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service may not be directing funds to states with the most significant environmental concerns arising from agricultural production. The GAO says the formula to select environmental quality incentive program recipients is flawed. The EQIP formula consists of 31 factors. The GAO says the Conservation Service does not have specific documented rational reasons for why it included each factor in the formula, nor guidelines on how it assigns and adjusts the weights for each factor, or how each factor contributes to optimizing environmental benefits. New U.S. Environmental Protection Agency standards for fine and coarse particulate pollution continue to come under congressional fire. The standard contains no specific exemptions for agriculture, but EPA spokesperson John Scholl says the agency is addressing the concerns.
We understand that dust and dirt is an inherent part of agricultural activity and the sensitivity that farm folks have when it comes to issues that they might think regulates that. I'm pleased to say that EPA does not intend to regulate dirt coming off farms, and we think we've crafted a rule that addresses issues that do indeed pose an adverse health effect.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is not swayed by the assurance. Grassley says the EPA's final rule could have a devastating impact on agriculture. Iowa's other senator, Tom Harkin, ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, is taking a more cautious approach.
I want to be very careful and cautious about rushing to override an EPA rule legislatively. I want to know more about it. I have concerns. I just want to make sure I understand it better and just what impact it might or might not have on agriculture. I'm told it'll have little or no impact on agriculture, but I want to make sure of that.
Scholl says it's the coarse standard that causes the most concern for agriculture. He says EPA is retaining the existing coarse particulate daily standard of 150 micrograms per cubic meter. A report by USDA's Office of Inspector General has found the department has not been ensuring that state meat inspections are comparable to federal standards. The report says USDA's Food Safety Inspection Service has not conducted consistent reviews of states that have their own inspection programs. The study also says federal officials are prone to giving a passing grade to state inspection programs rife with deficiencies. 28 states currently have their own meat inspections. Brazilian soybean growers, agronomists, economists, and specialists are in Illinois for a look at precision farming and crop performance. After visiting the Chicago Board of Trade, the group headed to Monmouth. Tom Peterson of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting reports.
The Riverland FS Ormon facility near Monmouth hosted a tour of nearly 30 Brazilian farmers on Tuesday. Now, while impressed with the Illinois soybean crop, Claudio Purissimo, a college professor from southern Brazil, educated at the University of Illinois, said that his country has been dealing with soybean rust for about twice as long as we have here in the United States. After it hits full force here, we probably don't have the proper chemicals to deal with it.
Some of those were not still approved to use for this disease because maybe you didn't know about that disease, how deadly it is, but if it strikes here, you'll be in trouble, big trouble.
After leaving Monmouth, their group was scheduled to tour four Illinois farms and make stops at the University of Illinois and Parkland College before returning home. I'm Tom Peterson, Monmouth.
A USDA delegation is heading to Europe next week regarding the U.S. long grain rice GMO flap. Trade officials will discuss technical and other issues in the hope of clearing up the export path for U.S. rice. U.S. beef producers are still reluctant to send beef to South Korea. No U.S. beef has been exported to South Korea as of September 21st, about 2 weeks after South Korea eased its nearly three-year ban on U.S. beef, allowing shipments of boneless cuts. South Korea currently has a zero-tolerance requirement on bone fragments. U.S. packers say that's impossible. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of today's ag programming. You can pick it up as an MP3 file for our podcast service. And subscribe to our weekend newsletter. And don't forget about Commodity Week. You can pick that up early this evening off the website or as the podcast if you'd like. Should be posted by about 6 o'clock. Our guest this week, Bill Biederman of Allendale. It's all right there at willag.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Farmers in the field in your area today?
It's starting to look a lot more like harvest around here. Kind of a slower, steady start through the week, but it's been picking up pace steadily through the week. A little bit unusual here. Most of the guys I'm talking to, say Champaign and South or Gibson City West, are running more on corn. We've been pretty heavy on soybeans this week. Actually, more bean receipts than corn yesterday.
I would think that would be different than a lot of the areas around Illinois and Indiana. Or have you heard that beans have been going more than corn?
I would say most places, more corn than soybeans. Talking to people over in the Springfield area, sounds like they're really rolling on corn, have the dryers backed up. Sounds like the Champaign over to Decatur area is mostly in corn, so I'd say we're the exception here.
Indeed you are. And what kind of yields are you hearing out of the bean fields there?
I am hearing some pretty good bean numbers. We had a few fields finish up here earlier this week, and they were all running in the 60s.
I suppose if you know much about the territory, you know that that part of the world where you are, across all the way through Lafayette and that part of Indiana, really is bean country, and there are a lot of beans there. I guess if we really think about it, it doesn't surprise me too much that you're running in beans and that the yields are awfully good. Farmers making any cash sales as they go across the scales, or have they got most of this marketed and put away in some form?
We had a pretty good new crop book on going into harvest. Very, very little new crop sales up until yesterday. Yesterday's pop generated a little bit of interest, both corn and soybeans. The market has been acting nervous that we've been getting into harvest this week. Things have started to roll in at how few additional new crop sales have been going on. So I think it was kind of Mark was happy to see a little bit of cash selling yesterday, and that's probably part of what that board rally was about.
And the pressure should come onto the market, I suppose, as corn harvest comes into full-fledged over the weekend and right into next week.
Yes, but we're going to be moderated a little bit. Last year at this time, we were 50% done on corn harvest, from what they tell me. And, you know, I would say right now we are just barely scratching the surface.
And your bids for the day are?
We are at 243 on corn into Paxton and 526 on soybeans.
We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, where he's the general manager. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. Your regional newscast comes up in just a few moments.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Illinois Department of Revenue has told Prevena Health to pay a property tax bill for its Covenant Medical Center campus in Urbana. The ruling released today comes from State Revenue Director Brian Hamer, who ruled that the hospital could not continue to claim not-for-profit status. Prevena had appealed rulings dating back to 2003, saying it provides a great deal of charity care. A similar question over tax-exempt status hovers over Carle Foundation Hospital. The decision today against Prevena may have an impact on the status of other not-for-profit hospitals in the state. Governor Rob Blagojevich's campaign is again criticizing proposals by Republican challenger Judy Bart Topinka to cut almost $3 million from the state budget by controlling Medicaid costs. Topinka has said the cuts could be done without hurting services to the poor. But Democratic State Senator Carol Ronan contends Topinka could only make those cuts by gutting services and adversely affecting seniors and people with disabilities. Republican Secretary of State candidate Dan Rutherford says that if elected, he will not hire family members. The Pontiac lawmaker says Democratic incumbent Secretary of State Jesse White should not have allowed relatives to hold jobs in his office. But Rutherford says that qualified people who contributed to his election campaign could be allowed to hold those jobs under certain conditions. A lunchroom food fight has left several Bloomington High School students facing suspension, and some students and parents are questioning whether that punishment is too harsh. But Principal Cindy Helmer says the situation isn't funny and food fights can create a dangerous situation. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says he stands behind outgoing Bureau of Motor Vehicles Commissioner Joel Silverman, who announced his resignation this week. Silverman will step down next month. Daniels says the embattled Silverman could have been a better politician, but he says he didn't hire him for his political skills. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. We're joined by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Everybody wants to know, how's the weather going to hold up for the harvest season over the next several days?
Well, it looks like we're dealing with some showers this afternoon. Actually, a rather large band of showers from just north of Evansville back toward the Quad Cities, and some heavier showers embedded in there. So where those heavier showers hit, that could slow things up a bit. But the air is so dry beneath us right here on the surface now. Our dew point here in Champaign is about 35 or 34. It's going to take a lot for some of this rain to get to the ground, but that'll be moving through in the next couple of hours. And then there's another chance for rain even early tomorrow as this upper-level disturbance comes through. And then after that, I think most of next week should be pretty good. We may get into some showers toward the middle of the week with a weak front dropping into Illinois and Indiana. But for the most part, it looks like some milder weather and a continuation of generally dry weather. So I think for the most part, harvest activity should be in good shape.
It sounds like the corn pickers will continue to roll one way or the other. They might have to pull out of the beans from time to time just because they get a little tough. But other than that, should be good harvesting weather, a little warmer than usual.
Yeah, we'll see. We're not going to be seeing the cool weather we had this week. It looks like next week we'll have good southerly winds for the most part, and that'll bring temperatures well up into the 70s. So it'll be some perfect fall weather for getting outdoor activities done, including harvest. So no real big rain situation coming up until maybe next weekend is the first sign of maybe something major. But until then, it looks like we're in fairly good shape.
And how are we doing soil moisture-wise across the Midwest?
In general, we're not doing too bad. The rainfall this month was sort of all over the place here in Illinois. Northern and northeastern Illinois and southern Illinois got a lot of rain, whereas the western half of the state and parts of east central Illinois were a little dry. In terms of the soil moisture, things are in the top layers, especially in western Illinois. The eastern half of the state's actually in pretty good shape. But with this dry weather we've had and not much rain, the topsoil's drying out a bit. But in terms of the deeper soil moisture, we're actually in pretty good shape.
And then if you could recap for us as we're heading through October. What frost dates usually are for the different portions of the state of Illinois?
Sure. We're looking anywhere from the first week in October in far northern Illinois to the last week in October in southern Illinois here in the central part of the state, Champaign-Urbana specifically. It's October 17th thereabouts, and looks like could happen about that time, so we'll have wait and see.
All right, thanks much. We appreciate it.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. This week's guest, Bill Biederman of Allendale. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign. Locally owned and operated and serving families since 1925. The staff at Owens Funeral Home invite you to join them in supporting public radio.